or home or office. Your environment.
Afternoon, good evening. Good afternoon, good evening. This is Veronica Entwistle. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. Radiance by Design is a show about you. You and I are vibrational vehicles of light, and we radiate into the world. What are you radiating? And you know what? We've been talking about channeling a lot over the last few shows. Incidentally, this is a call-in show, but we've been talking a lot about channeling. And you know what? Channels and channeled words and every word you speak has radiance. You know that? Our words are either clipped or they're smooth. They come from a defense, a protection, a stopping force, or a going force. They're very vibrationally active, words are. And then when we're talking about channels, now how can you figure out who's channeling what, and how can we figure out if that information is useful, good, or absolutely true? Well, from my perspective, my understanding is that a lot of it has to do with what happens to you when you're listening to the channel. What happens with those words? Do those words limit you? It isn't even the meaning of the words, okay? Somebody can say hello and you feel like you could fly to the moon. Somebody else says hello and you feel like you should be sitting in the basement. It depends on the frequency that they're applying or you're applying to anything that you put out there. And that is also so for channels and channeling. That there are beings of light who have crankiness and beings of light who just stream more light through. And actually, most of what we want to get channeling for, and I think this is really interesting because I said last week on the radio, I sort of chuckled about it, and I said, I think I carry the imprint of Doubting Thomas. I'm a real show-me-then kind of girl and have been very resistant about channels just for, or channeling, just because of that. That's my nature. It's like, oh, let me figure it out. Let's see if it's good information. Let's see if it's going to take me down the wrong path. Let's see if it's going to put me off path or so on. How can you tell? And the more I follow channels or learn about channels, the more I realize what we already know is it comes through the mind of the channel, that beings of light and expansiveness always give you a message that is actually possible. Meaning, if you get really stopped in your tracks by channeling, then you know it is not coming from the higher consciousness, because the higher consciousness that we want to work with anyway is a kind of consciousness that helps us unlock those threads of self-containment that have come from past reactions through our soul's journey. So, for example, if you're very resistant or if you're really contained deep within yourself and you're afraid of being loving, something like that, then a channeling can come through and really help unhook that container, that really tight knot that's in you. Where do those tight knots come from? Well, you're millions of years old, so am I. We've been skittering around the universe, collecting information, being very creative, trying to design realities all over the place, and coming into the third dimension here, the earth plane, where it is really dense, to see if we could find our way out of it and create our way out of it and give experience to our body, mind, emotional self, and our soul's journey. The experience of unfoldment and of creation and so on. And so we've come to a very dense environment. And in that density, and when the frequencies get very dense, we go through a lot of dog-eat-dog experience, life and death and murder and greed and, perpetrating all this survival doodah that we've had to do on this third-dimensional planet. And remember all this other stuff we've heard, which is there are many beings of light and consciousness, many alien cultures and so on, which are observing us at this time because we as beings, third-dimensional beings, have learned to live into, well, I don't know how much of this we've learned, but we're kind of free-spirited and we're supposed to be living without the controls of beings that are not on this planet. We're supposed to be free-spirited, self-designing beings. And as such, we're supposed to show how we're going to be triumphant over the next little while of bringing our personal freedom, personal expression, our own journeys to some kind of fruit, some kind of powerful, self-designing consciousness. Are we going to do it? Or are we going to pop each other off with our toys and weapons and guns and stuff that we're so eager to play with? are we actually going to learn to live, to cohabit, and actually, going back to the use of words and gender in all the people around us, expansion and the potential to create. That's apparently what our big deal is. Can we change from a consciousness of fear, which is what we're in when we're in survival, to a consciousness of love, which is a consciousness that is reverent and respectful one of the other, and actually brings us forward in a really transformative pulse. So what are we going to do? And so channeled beings, many of the beings that we hear from who are channeled, have given us the gift of perception, meaning they've told us what's going on collectively on our planet. They've helped us out of certain pockets of consciousness limitation. They've helped us out and helped us expand into greater potential. Or another way to look at it is helped us clear ourselves from a lot of really old reactive programming. I've been working with Jackie Salvitti on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock and with her group, ET Healing, and they're just a wonderful channeling organization. They're just a great team. But anyway, they've been talking about the shadow for months now, I think 3 or 4 months, and the many, many aspects of the shadow. And in the shadow, in that aspect of our nature called the shadow, that's our darker side, there is so much programming which has already been deeply installed, and that programming has come from the collective, from the entire cultural consciousness, or has actually come from deep within ourselves and our own fears that have come through our family of origin, our lineage, and so on. And those are the things that drive us forward. And so under the circumstances, for example, with Jackie's show and Jackie's team, we get the frequencies that they can bring through easier than those of us who have been waterlogged or dimensionally logged in the third dimension. They can bring the kind of frequencies through that I sort of liken it to acupuncture in a kind of a way. The kind of frequencies that come through that literally move the energy which is more congested deep within us. And once you move the energy and expand it and it flows through, guess what? We can move our way out of the drives of the subconscious and of the shadow and of the karma, because it brings it up into the light and we get to make choices about what we're going to let run us. When it's in the darkness and it's in the shadow completely, until we find ways of understanding what's in there, we don't get to move it. So here's an example about how a channeling team, and she has many beings in her team. When I channel, I also have what they call a coalescence of beings, many beings, who cover sort of different points of view on different subjects. But one of the big indicators of a useful and wonderful and loving channel is, A, you feel loved, don't feel judged. And B, you feel, because the judgments usually come from personality, okay? And B, what you feel is that you can step out of something that has been deeply programmed within yourself, as if somebody gave you a shot of consciousness, a little injection of consciousness, and consciousness being a self-empowering, creative way of thinking, not one that comes from pre-constructed patterns of thought, but a kind of an ability to open to new concepts, new ideas. And I kept mentioning different channels, which I'm going to continue to do today. And there's a woman named Carolyn Corey who's going to be on the show. And she doesn't channel, so she says. However, she brings through what she calls source energy. So it's different terms. Somebody else might say it's channeling. I don't know. But anyway, what she talks about is when we become very creative in our world, we become creative about who we are and what it is we're doing, and we take a chance to be bigger, more noble, more supportive of the human consciousness or cultural change or whatever it is we're doing on the planet to really enhance the rate of growth in our consciousness. That actually helps the universe unfold. Everything we do to become creative actually enhances the ability of our universe to be more creative. It's like that you set the tone for limitations, but you can also set the tone for unfoldment, and everything is infinitely unfoldable. So anyway, before we go farther into channeling, and I wanted to talk about, I want to talk about a variety of things. Before we go in and do the structures, because I'd like to do a meditation together, the meditation is as much to set the tone, set the scene, set the vibrational reality that can amplify or create our ability to create. Before that, I wanted to mention something funny, is that I have a friend who's a wonderfully spiritual being. He's just a wonderful, loving, delightful, light being. But he told me something that really frightened me a couple of days ago. And it was about our government and so on. And I got very frightened. And I passed these messages on to several people. And so what I did was I installed fear in some of the people's days, if you will. I wasn't thinking in those terms. But the reality is, right now, a lot of us are being, how can I put this? We're actually channeling fear. The fear that's being promoted by sensational media or whatever. You know, the consciousness that wants us to remain afraid is aware that if we're all afraid, then we're enslaved, aren't we? We're not creative and we're not expansive when we're afraid. So what happens is I listened to my friend, whom I'm really fond of, and we were talking and I became afraid of a situation. I didn't even think about it. I went, oh, this is something we really, really need to deal with. And I started to become afraid and pass it on and so on. And it wasn't until today when I talked to someone else that I said, this is what happened, and I got myself afraid. And she laughed and said, because we're supposed to, everything's moving very fast right now. We all know this, okay? So what we're supposed to be doing right now, according to teachers that we've all had on the spiritual path and on the path of creating our reality, we're supposed to be moving out of fear consciousness and into the consciousness of love. And expressing the positive and the consciousness of love. So I have to say that when my friend and I shared this fearful concept, what we did was we channeled it back and forth. We ignited fear in one another. Now, he was already coming from fear because someone else passed it on to him. But you see how it works? It's like little matches. Click, flash, both people are afraid. Okay, and then click, flash, he talks to me and I'm afraid. And then I pass it on, click, flash, and they're all afraid. So the reality is that I had to run around and pick up those pieces and go, holy mackerel, when somebody installs fear in you or ignites fear in you, really we have to go to work, move back up, bring up the fear, look at it, release it, transform it. When I say look at it and release it, it's like call it up, I want to feel all the fear, and then say to your guides and angels, help me command total release, please, and then look at the picture and start unfolding your own visions. And move in toward a loving solution for all people. And the thing is if enough of us really moved through that transformative process and really thought things through in a positive and creative way, we would have a whole different world. And I know that. I know that because as I wrote to someone about having installed fear about this issue to do with our government, I said, I shouldn't have done it that way. I should have turned it around. We should all turn it around. And I know we can prove that to ourselves by absolutely turning around any fear that comes up. In within 2 or 3 days, you're going to notice a huge, maybe faster than that, you're going to notice a huge difference in the way your life unfolds. It's a test. You can test it out. You have something you're afraid of, bring up the fear, really notice where it is in your body, because the body is such a great little storage unit. And where you store things in your body tells you a lot about where your anxieties and propensities for difficulties are. So you notice where it is in your body and bring in your angels and ask for help. As you command total release of that fear energy now, and the next thing you know, you're creating a better image. You're seeing something that you really prefer, that's loving for all concerned. And on you go, and you'll start seeing your life manifest so much more quickly. I know a lot of you know this already, but that's just a reminder. Here's another thing, as Bob and I went shopping, we went to the mall, the delightful mall, which I don't always enjoy. But anyway, we had to go directly to Target, that wonderful boutique that we all know and love. And when we went to Target, we looked around, the parking lot was really dark. And we went into Target and the lights were on and so on, and we discovered that the whole mall had a power failure. So we wouldn't even have noticed. We were in Target getting everything that we were looking for, you know, electronics and stuff. everything we were looking for and having a wonderful time, and it was a very busy shopping time there, but the rest of the mall was lights out. Now, it's really interesting, and Bob noted that it was, like, for me, it was a really interesting metaphor on how the guides keep saying there are concurrent realities going on, and you can create your reality with your mind. Now, someone else is creating a darker reality, and you're creating a lighter reality, and that is provable. And then, what was it you were saying, Bob? Yeah, that their intention, that they were thinking ahead. They were thinking ahead, and they were prepared for, what, the power fluctuation. So they were already conscious and intending to cover themselves if something came up. They were looking down the road a ways. And that was really very, very obvious. It was really wonderful. Yeah, they set the resonance to keep themselves going. So we found it really quite an interesting explanation. Now, we're talking about channeling that is useful. See, we do channel. We channel from the movies. We channel from television. We channel from President Bush. We channel from electronics in your household. We channel from the weather. We channel from the... We're already doing all that, okay? So if you're listening to a great guru who's coming through a channel, do you feel expanded? Do you feel possible? Do you feel like you're absolutely opening up where you were a bit contained before or very contained before? If not, I'd say walk away. Don't listen to information that comes to you because it designs you. If it designs a contraction in you, it's not really what you're on about. See what I mean? So it's so interesting. The whole channel thing is so interesting. It's every word that comes out, every thought, every feeling. We're breathing and sucking it in. So if you're going to bring in a more intense stream of thoughts and feelings that come from a higher level, you want to be able to measure what the impact is on you. So we're going to have callers after we do this structure. So let's do a structure. Our structures are meditation tools. These are really wonderful tools. And talk about channeling, we're going to channel in the vibrations to create a kind of a vibrational sanctuary in your world, in my world. And the purpose of this is to clear the space, because all those thoughts and feelings that drape around your furniture, you know, you can go to an antique store, you can sit in a chair, and you can actually go through the feelings of a person who maybe died 100 years earlier, but their thoughts and feelings are still sitting in the chair. And, yeah... I remember once renting a car, an old rent-a-wreck. Have any of you ever rented a wreck? And it was one of those big floating living room ones. And I got in, I was sitting in the passenger seat. And all of a sudden, I was totally sexually aroused. It was a riot. I was laughing because I realized whoever had had the car before me or before them or before them had used it as their living room or their bedroom. It just made me really laugh and want to talk about how empathic we all are, and how we live out the thoughts and feelings of other people. And sometimes it's more fun than other times. Anyway, what we're going to do with the structures is create a sanctuary, a space. We're drawing in with our minds, using our mind as a sculpting tool. We're drawing in sacred geometric forms and shapes. Now, these are the building blocks of creating your reality anyway. And we're using them the way my guides taught us. Let's talk about channel. We channeled in this information using the term channeling. And find that they are a very strong, protective place. And when you're in these structures, you really feel, you can feel vibrationally like you're very, very protected in the world. It's very peculiar. And also, they're a place to go in, do your meditation, create your day, enhance your manifestation, like you're going to create your what it is you're trying to achieve in life and so on. And you'll really feel the resonance. It's very exciting. So they're vibrational links to your possibilities. And remember, if these are the building blocks for creating our reality, that's a little bit beyond most of our ability to comprehend on a logical level. But when you play with these structures, you find that you really are creating in them, so they can give you a kind of a like a poetic link to what that means in a more esoteric level or a much more intellectual level. Are y'all ready? Let's all take a deep breath and close our eyes unless we're driving, okay? Another deep breath. And then let's focus above your head, perhaps 2 miles, way up there. And see up there a golden ball, and it's very, very radiant. And now below your spine, perhaps 20 feet, another golden ball. And now drop a filament of light, a very, very hot, vibrant light, filament of light from the upper ball to the lower ball. In this case, my filament of light seems to have a lot of green and gold and silver and platinum in it. I don't know what yours has. And now in front of you, let's see which one to do. Now, and around your waist, at a radius of about 8 feet, I want you to draw a whole circle of golden balls, beautiful circle of golden balls. Wonderful. That's an 8-foot radius. You don't have to measure this stuff. You just got to try it out. And from the upper golden ball to the circle of golden balls, drop a myriad of pink filaments of light. Good. So you have a little canopy pointing up. And now from the circle of golden balls to the lower ball, many, many filaments of pink light. Good. And now you're in a canopy pointing up and a canopy pointing down. And inside of that, so you're inside this wonderful canopy, and now you're going to be inside a crystal ball, an etheric crystal ball, the edges of which touch the inside of your canopy. So it's as wide as the canopy. Create yourself a beautiful crystal ball. If you want, you can flatten it a little bit. Mine just did that, so I like that. And now in this crystal ball, you feel very, very nurtured. It's a feminine energy, but there's something really creative about the feeling in there. And now inside of that, you have your double tetrahedron. That's a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And where they meet in the middle, they're sticking out. So it's a diamond shape. And now you're inside the diamond. And remember, the filament of light is running through the diamond and running through your head and running through your spine. And now you spin and spin and spin in this double tetrahedron, spin and spin and spin. And while you're spinning in there, I want you to create some visions about what it is you want to have happen in the world, in your life, for other people, for the whole world, goals that you have. And remember, while you're spinning in your double tetrahedron and you're seeing on this big magical screen in front of you what it is you want to create, or you are creating, your own personal goals, your well-being. A creative output. Let's take some people into this structure and on this screen who are very ill or frustrated in their lives for whatever reason. What is it you want to do next year? How are your resources? Are you laughing enough? I suddenly got a vision of seeing myself laughing and playing. You're never too old to laugh and play. When you're ready, come on back into your awareness of your double tetrahedron. Spinning and spinning and spinning. And spinning. Wonderful. Now let yourself come back to center. And you know, when you have this, you know, if you're in an experience, you're having an experience in your life that's really you're challenging yourself. You try not to be afraid, and you're trying to be strong, but you know you're up against the wall or something. Get into that double tetrahedron and spin it as fast as you can. If you can do the whole structure, it's better. But if you can only do the double tetrahedron, it's great. There's also a star tetrahedron, which you want to look up on the internet. Some of you already know what it is. It's a multidimensional, wonderful star. And we might talk about that next week. So you can look it up and get a vision of what it really looks like. You can also use that as your spinning tool. But bringing these up, did you feel that your frequency rose when you did it? Is your frequency up when you do it? All right, let's talk about some of the different channels. One of the people that I really loved studying with many years ago is Mafu. Mafu is a channeled entity, and his teachings are really strict. They're very ancient. And he would have, I went through many, many of his tapes. I never actually went to a workshop. But his channeling was very, very demanding. And we had to do chanting, and it was really rigorous. I remember when I was learning how to channel, there was a channel there who was teaching us, and she was channeling Dwal Kool. And it was pretty interesting. She made us do sounding, toning, for long periods of time, like an hour, 2 hours. I mean, it was really transcendent. The next thing you knew, you were just like right out of your body. But that's the idea, because what it did was melted down some of the resistances, some of the blocks. And channeling is actually breaking open into the fields of the third dimension so that you can conduct higher frequency energies from the universe. I know I said we're already channeling each other's feelings and words and so on, but there's new levels of channeling that are really getting in touch with different dimensions beyond the veil, beyond the third dimension, beyond our planet. It could be on our planet, but in different dimensions. Who knows? So there's quite a bit of breaking open of the way we kind of have a membrane of energy around our bodies and allowing in a different consciousness. So when I was working with the Mafu stuff, it was really intense. Oh, my. You had to do a great deal of chanting. And there were certain sounds that really evoked awakening in the spinal cord in the spinal column, and I know that that is pretty traditional in some of the ancient mystery schools as well. It was a huge discipline, and I really trust him. Oh, goody, we have a caller. I really trusted him because he put me through so much that I felt that I was literally evolving. I used to try and sleep with his tapes on at night, but I do trust his, you know, he's on the web now. I couldn't find him for a while, but he's on the web. Anyway, we have a caller. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Veronica. This is Kim from Louisiana.
Hi, Kim from Louisiana. How you doing?
Hanging in, thanks.
Good girl.
Yeah.
Hanging in. You're doing more than that. You look like you're growing.
I'm doing a little bit of it.
You bet.
Yeah, it's been quite a ride, and I'm having fun. I called to ask about what you might see about relationships for me. See, I've met the person I'm supposed to be with, okay, in my dreams, like, or in the astral, or whatever. Okay, so I have his energy signature.
Okay.
But I don't know what he looks like. And
do you know what the astral is?
Well, I mean, I would say that it's, like, out of the body realm, like, different from, I mean, I think about it as being different than a dream world, being like an alternative kind of reality world, like Robert Monroe kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying astral, that's kind of what I mean. I've been having probably semi-conscious, spontaneous, out-of-body experiences for about, I don't know, 2 years.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it is wonderful, but I don't ever remember how I got out. I just remember all of a sudden I'm out, and then I'm doing stuff and doing things, and it's like,
have you
read
a lot of Robert Monroe?
Yeah, and I did the Gateway stuff, but I never really got past the first album. I mean, cassette thing, the first series. I bought everything, but mm-hmm. just haven't got back into it. And I did.
So for listeners, we should say what that is, that he started a school of out-of-body travel, didn't he?
Right.
And spoke of the many dimensions. I love his book, Far Journeys. That's one of my favorite books. It reads like a novel, doesn't it?
Yeah.
of his explorations of leaving his body and going through the various dimensions.
Right.
I just want to go back to something when you're talking about astral. I want to be a bit cautionary here because to me, and I'm not always the most knowledgeable, logically knowledgeable person on these things, but it seems to me that the astral is a layer of possibilities that are emanating from people, sort of like another pool of consciousness that's coming from people's desires and realms of reaching. But I'm not sure that that's what you want to inspire in your world.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense? It's not. It's like if it housed everybody's desires, we wouldn't necessarily want to go in and channel it, would we?
Right.
And so I'm saying to you, because first of all, when I look at your the imprint of the partner, he's not here yet, okay? And I do see him coming. And I see that he is actually a very conscious man. So I don't think you saw him from the astral. I think he's beyond that. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure. Like, you mean that I met him beyond kind of an astral realm, that I met him in some sort of spiritual realm?
Yes, I would say.
Okay.
I would say of a cellular nature, that he's one that has been designated. You've made a contract with him. You know, have you ever read Michael Newton's books, Life Between Lives? No, not Life Between Lives. Journey of Souls, but he does talk about Life Between Lives and the contracts we make. You have somebody coming who made a very, very viable contract with you, and you're not really ready to meet him yet. But I don't think it has to do with the astral as much as I think it has to do with the imprint of your soul journey, and I'm not sure exactly where, but when you talk astral, the guides show him coming through many levels and many dimensions. He's not just with the astral. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I did meet somebody, but he, and it was really, I mean, powerful and everything, and I thought, okay, this is the one, and then I found out like 3 days later he's getting married, like he's getting married next week. And I thought, wow, you know, I wonder, like, if he's, like, I just wonder about, I'm thinking, well, maybe I tapped into a parallel life, or maybe he's a twin, you know, a twin flame of the guy I'm supposed to meet, or maybe he's...
You know what's interesting about soulmates? That soulmates are just people that are part of our journey, and they really are an important part of our journey. We often think there's somebody I should be married to, but it's not necessarily so. So you met somebody who's a part of your soul collection, and he's really important to you.
He was. I mean, wow.
And it really broke your heart, huh?
Well, I will say that I have never had that kind of energy exchange with another human being ever.
You know,
and I just met him for like basically we flirted for like 5 or 10 minutes and that was it. And then I had these extremely powerful experiences, you know, at night, like 3 or 4 nights in a row. And I was like shocked that he was getting married. I was like, wow, I can't believe it. But
you know what? He's an activator. He's a soul that comes in to really finish something with you.
Yeah.
The hardest thing for us as human beings is to meet beings like that and not want to take them home.
Right.
And sometimes people like that, you can blow your circuits together. You know, you're kind of meant to meet and go, whoa, there you are, and then just keep going, because then the souls are activated. There's a kind of a wisdom that's freer after that. It's like you've been... you know, you've taken on a transmission from each other. He was pretty shaken up from you as well. I have a friend who had that experience, and then he went back to his wife. They met on a plane, airplane. And then she actually hired a detective to track him down, the whole thing. But because she knew he was the right thing, but it wasn't the right thing. It never worked.
Yeah.
So, it's just that the energy is so intense when it's like that. And, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of, I'm open to possibilities, but I'm fairly certain that he's going to get married.
The thing about you, though, is that you've been kind of closed off in a self-protective way.
Oh, you're right. I have been for years, right?
Okay, so he sort of came in with his vibrational machete and whacked it to you. So you're actually more alive than you were before you met him.
Oh, yeah, and I totally get that.
And that's his service to you.
Right.
And it comes in the name of love, but it's not something he's conscious of, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But cellularly speaking, it was sure a good arrangement.
Right.
But the fellow coming in, I see him as not quite ready yet. He's out here. He's in the ethers, and it's coming, but it's not there yet.
Okay.
And by the time he arrives, and he's really a very noble soul, and that's what we really need to find these days, is a very noble being, because there's a lot of challenge going on out there, and it takes a certain kind of nobility to keep your center and to keep fomenting consciousness and not reaction, right?
Right.
And he's coming. He's really precious, very, very kind. You're going to say, whoa, where did he come from?
I can't wait.
But in my hell, you're going to have to wait, honey.
I know.
But he's not going to come quite the same, because you won't find it quite as swashbuckling inside. But he will activate you.
Uh-huh.
And he has a presence of consciousness that's really quite stunning. The way he sees and experiences life is very... the guides are calling it magnificent. It's like magnificently poetic and philosophical and smart. So he's got all of that wriggling in there together. So he's coming. He's a little more graceful than the other fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, it's not that long, but it's just not quite right now.
Yeah, the other guy, I mean, he's an artist and he's beautiful and he's an award-winning writer and everything, you know. But he raises donkeys and he's a catfish fisherman. And I'm not really, even though I was a country girl, I'm like, wow, I can't believe I even looked twice at him.
But hey, isn't that good? Because all of a sudden you've broken your own prototype.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he's a really delightful soul, but I don't think he's your fella.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Your fellow's going to be very kind of gently presented, and he's there. And when he's there, he's there. And you'll go, oh, he's here. And it'll kind of make you, I don't know, weak in the knees. It's not
yeah.
as bombastic, but your knees will go, mmm.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you so much, Veronica, for sharing.
Oh, well, you just take care, and thank you for sharing.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Have a blessed evening.
And you too.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. So that's really interesting, too, because this young lady was bringing in a lot of energies from the astral, which I think is questionable, too. One of the things about that that's really important is when it's really sensational, I think we have to be suspect as well. Because, again, that's channeling. It's bringing in thoughts and feelings that come from other and maybe seem like... they're the answer, but the reality is they're a little bit flashy. So anyway, so let's go back to Ma Fu, whose message was all about discipline and growth and really becoming who you are and peace and love and moving beyond the turmoil of the third dimension. Now then came Ramtha. How many of you have experienced Ramtha, Jay-Z, Knight, and all that? He has his school of enlightenment that started in, I guess, the 70s. Now, something interesting about Ramtha, I think he has done some really remarkable, very good work. And I mentioned last week how he came through Jay-Z Knight when she was playing with the pyramids on her head, which I was doing way back. I didn't get any visitations. I didn't even write the great Canadian novel with that thing on my head. However, she got a job out of it, right? She's bringing through Ramtha, who has only been alive once before, apparently. And he's here to teach us how to be warriors, you know, and he is a warrior. And one of the things he teaches is how to become invisible, which is getting in charge of your frequencies enough so that you can vibrate out of the third dimensional awareness. And that's a protective device. Well, I think our structures are a little bit easier to develop than that. But in any case, he's teaching us a lot about being a warrior. One of the things that a lot of us questioned, though, way back when, is he taught a lot about earth changes, and this was going to happen, and that was going to happen, and there was danger here and danger there. And I think now that we're getting a little bit wiser, I look back and go, you know what? Future possibilities was a word that I didn't hear much about in those days. Future possibilities. Now, if you and I looked at the future possibilities, there's some horrendous ones, aren't there? And there's some amazing ones, and we're the ones who are going to create what those possibilities are. Which ones are we actually going to seed with our consciousness, our visualization, our behavior, and the energy reactions that we have to life? Because it's all a co-creation, isn't it? So I think I poo-pooed Ramtha. because of that, because he had people moving. I was living in the Olympic Peninsula at the time, and he had a lot of people move up from, I don't know if it was California where Rompsey used to be before he moved to Yelm, but in any case, a lot of people moved up to the Olympic Peninsula, and they had stockpiled 2 years of food, and they were hunkering down for all the great earth changes and so on. And that didn't happen, so that's okay. And we're really glad it didn't, and maybe it's because a lot of us put our heads together and created a different reality. Who knows? Then there's Galexis. Galexis is a really wonderful collection of beings as well. And they have a very practical bent. They seem to be able to teach us to... Galexis is very active right now and has been since the 90s. Seem to be able to focus on sort of centering into yourself and then unhooking. Like, what is it going to take you to get a higher frequency energy? What is it going to take you to release all of these reactions? What's in those reactions for you and so on? And usually, if I have a session, my experience with Galexis has been that I feel more empowered. And, you know, the vibration, again, I have to say, is that the feeling is less about whether they're telling me the exact truth about who I am, or have they, I'll be with you in a moment, thanks for your call, or have they empowered me enough to raise my fields and my frequency? And I think that they... Galexis, that gathering, is just a wonderful healing force. And we'll talk about more of them in a minute. But we have a caller. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Or good evening.
Hi. Good evening. Yes, it's evening here. I spoke with you a couple of weeks ago. I asked you if I had a soul contract with someone who seemed to feel that I had had a soul contract with them. And you had a very strong reaction that my contract was to not be with them.
Oh, right. I remember you were on Jackie's.
You remember me? Yeah. And then I had a strong reaction, too. But, you know, it occurred to me talking about these astral things that I had a lot of astral experiences. I think they were astral. Maybe you can confirm that, if that's what was going on last year. And I've been suffering for about a year. This is somebody who I met when I was 17, had a couple of experiences with, and didn't realize that he was the same person that I met many years later.
What's your
first name?
And
that's when I walked away.
Okay, what's your first name?
My name is Susan, and I didn't put it all together until last year, and last year is when I had, I believe it might have been, I don't know if they were astral, but they were psychic experiences, and I've been suffering under a lot of it and trying to integrate this person.
So what are you suffering under, mostly on your relationship with him?
Yes, and I can't seem to get over it because I hadn't realized that I'd met him when I was 17 and that he was the same person that I met when I was 27 and that I walked away from because he was a person of some prominence and could have done something for me in my career because he had a career that was in the same line as mine was. And then I didn't really think about it. I wasn't really aware of it until last year, and then this all came to my attention, and some things happened. It was a very psychically active year for me last year, and now I don't have anything going on. This has been an educational time for me, but I'm kind of grieving and healing.
How old are you
now? But I've been suffering a lot.
I bet you have. How old are you now?
I'm 58 right now.
Okay, so you've just been through another Saturn return. That's part of it, eh?
Oh, really? Because that's when I knew him, when we were both doing Saturn return.
So you did it again, you see.
Oh!
And one of the things is you are very psychic. And I believe your contract is to nudge each other or activate each other. I think that it would be one of those relationships where if you got together and really had a relationship, it would pull you down and under. You know how some relationships will do that?
I feel pulled down and underward, but I felt like that always made, for him, it made, it activated him, but it pulled me down and under.
Yeah, it's a good thing to stay away from. That's the kind of a contract that is a completion. I would call this more of a karmic situation. And I believe that he would really love you, but you look like you just drown in him. You're doing the right thing staying away. And it doesn't mean that it's easy to recover. It means that you're going to deal with the karma without having to go through as much of the drama.
Yeah.
And you are dealing with the karma. And I'll tell you what, this Saturn return at this age is really intense.
Really?
Oh gosh, yeah. Check out all the people. I'm a lot older than that now, but I'll tell you what, I could give you a list of names of people who are on the intuitive path who really went through, you would not believe the stuff they went through trying to reevaluate what everything means at a soul level.
That really helps me. I had no idea I was under a Saturn return.
Yeah, well, look it up. It might give you some fuel for your own angst because you're coming to, I'll say this about you personally, that it looks like you'll unhook from this fellow. You know, I had one where I couldn't really unhook, but I had to kind of keep separating in my mind and my energy field, and then it becomes a no thing, and I'm sure it could reignite because solar things are ancient. Who knows how long it takes to unhook them? It might be thousands of years, right? But you can make, you can start complimenting yourself on having gotten away because you could have been, it's like the paddle wheeler. You could have been turned into the batter.
Do you think that there could be any time in the future, like after this life, where we could come together in some kind of peace, or it's just something
that needs
to be stayed away from?
Yeah, after this life, you will connect with him in a very interesting way. I would read Michael Newton's book, A Journey of Souls.
Let me write that down. Michael Newton.
Yeah, Journey of Souls.
The Journey of Souls. Thank you. And I can get that where? Amazon?
Yeah, I'm sure it's not very hard to get, but it's really wonderful reading. It's actually quite light reading in a way. In another way, it'll just really sock it to you. But you've done, and I noticed this when I was on Jackie's show, you have done a remarkable job not getting all tangled up in drama with him. And
mm-hmm.
it's been hard for him because he thinks you're just, anyway, it's not logical. These things are not logical. There's a tie between the two of you.
Yeah, it's strong.
Yeah, it's really hard. Sometimes you have to just keep moving away and because those ties are so incredibly strong.
Mm-hmm.
One of the exercises I used to use, because the one I'm talking about I broke up with because I was supposed to, but I couldn't get over them, so I used to every now and then stop and go, I can't live without him. And I'd let those feelings rise in me, and then I'd command total release, and it would last for a day or two. And after
a
while...
What did you say? Can you slow down a little bit? The phone isn't working that good.
Okay.
Could you say what you did again?
I said I would stop, and then I'd start calling up, I can't live without him, and my whole body would go crazy. And then I'd command total release, and then after a while... It would recur, and I'd have to do it again, but it was longer and longer periods between. So I like to think I broke the ties, but I don't know because I'm humble enough to go, yeah, right, I don't think I'll get too cocky here, you know.
You mean I can live without him or I can't live without
him? I can't live without him.
You're just cathartic.
Yeah, you're just you're melodramatizing the deep fear, bringing it up and out, and...
Mm-hmm.
It'll pull through your body in a kind of a funny way, and it even made me sweat. I would burst into a sweat, and then I would clear, and I'd be fine for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it diminishes. After a while, you don't even think about it.
Okay, well, I'll keep working on it. I'll definitely get a hold of that book because I need something right now.
Yeah, I do. I think you're going to like it, but I also want to say that it doesn't, because you feel that attachment, doesn't mean it's a good thing to go to him, you know?
No, I'm not going to. I that was last year.
You're a good girl. All right. Thank you for your call, Susan.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye. See, it's a really interesting thing, too. It's like our souls connect, and we almost, I won't say that's like channeling. I was thinking that maybe it's like we channel each other in. It's a little bit like that, isn't it? When you connect with some soul being, it's like, you're running their existence through your existence at some deep level. And that gets so complicated, I don't know what I'm talking about after a while. Anyway, the channeling thing is very, very interesting, and I still go back to when you're talking with a channel or when you're channeling, you need to sit with the energy. If the energy is pulling you down, making you tired, you need to unhook and step out and at least try and figure out what's going on. Because the danger part is when you just start sucking in negative things or somebody else's personality, and then you got a whole lot more clearing to do. Because what is the goal these days? The goal is for us to live in love and not in fear. The goal is for us to unhook that consciousness drive from our subconscious, from our karma, and from everybody else's attachments. Anyway, I'm going to talk about my next guest. My next guest is coming in at about 3 minutes, and her name is Dr. Valerie Olmsted. And Dr. Valerie also has a show on BBS Radio called The Enlightened Medicine Show. Dr. Valerie is a character. She's a naturopathic doctor who was once a physician, and she's right now working with vibrations, with structures, with changing the nature of illness and disease. She works with, I just washed my mouth and can't do a thing with it. Okay. She's working with she's working with something called quantum vortex healing work, and she's working with physics, and she's talking about all kinds of interesting things. And this is not going to be a call-in show. I'm going to get Dr. Valerie to tell you tons of stuff, and I'm going to pick her brains all about what it takes to move our consciousness out of this third dimension limitation, which might create disease, and move it into a multidimensional approach, which I think is pretty darned exciting. She's an exciting woman, and we're going to have some fun with her, so stay tuned. At the top of the hour, it's 5 o'clock, and we're going to talk to her about her world. Next week, I'm going to have on Meredith Sowers, and that's going to be pretty exciting, too. This is Veronica Entwistle. You've been listening to Radiance by Design. Now, this is the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la. We all know about that. And sometimes it's really hard to be jolly. Got to set your frequencies, and you've got to start creating and designing what it is you want to experience in this season. I often call it the season of rebirth, because it's really a time where we get pulled into past behaviors, family of origin, all those things that we spent all these years trying to get beyond. And it's actually for the purpose of rebirth, to move into being your authentic nature, to get on the path of what is your true calling, and to learn to love each other instead of being afraid of each other. If we were truly who we were, we wouldn't be competitive, would we? Because we're like snowflakes. There's nobody else in the world that's me. There's nobody else in the universe, that is, that's me, or you, or Bob, or Don. So I'm going to talk to you in 5 minutes. We're going to be talking to Dr. Valerie Olmsted. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, remember to radiate by design. Email me, too, if there's something you'd like to talk about on Radiance by Design. Do send me an email, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. I'd love to know what it is you'd like to talk about on Radiance by Design. What is it you'd like to know about on Radiance by Design? What ideas do you have? What's your life like? We'll talk to you in about 4.5 minutes. Blessings.